This week on the review, of course, we'll talk Ashes. Apart from the fact it went 2 days, what a match. EPL fights amongst teammates. There was a cracker this morning, and it brought up some memories of some absolutely iconic teammate fights going back in the EPL days. Where are we at with Uzi? Is his time over in the Australian Test team? The people's champ, Travis Head, what a player. And what would he lose again? Week in review. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Week in Review's back, Steve. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Ian. Massive week of sport, obviously led with the Ashes, especially. The gift that keeps on giving with the footy and a few other things. So excited to jump in and have a chat.
Yeah, and it's going to be mostly Ashes, let's be honest, but we'll start with the other bits. We'll see if we can race through that shit as quick as possible and get to the good
stuff.
Sounds
good.
The best thing I saw overnight was the Everton teammates from the Plan United getting in a fight and with each other, and one of them getting sent off. Outstanding.
Yes. Yeah. Well, hang on a minute, mate. There was a soccer fight, so it was a slap. It wasn't a fight. But the coach saying that he was all for it and encouraged fighting between his players was a little bit over the top, I thought.
Yeah, but here's the quote. I knew what you were going to say about football, by the way, but that's fair. It's fair. It was only a slap.
It was a slap.
David Moyes. Do you know something? I quite like when my players have a fight. I'm sort of saying I want them to be tough. I don't want them to accept someone not doing well enough. Even the Man United coach, Ruben Amorim, said, we can fight with teammates. I know it's violent conduct because the referee explained it, but I don't agree. I kind of agree with that too. Have you seen the footage?
No, I haven't, mate. I missed it.
It was a slap. Yeah. But it was just a bit of bad defending, and one of his teammates giving him a gobful, which happens in every sport, and he didn't like it, so he come back at him.
Gave him a slap. Oh, you see it's pretty intense, right? You see the arguments in all sport. NRL's famous for it. I don't know whether I've seen a slap before, but...
Well, it reminded me of one you wouldn't have seen, and not being a Premier League fan yourself. But back in 2005, I think it was, where have I got it here? 2005, it was quite a famous one. Newcastle United, Lee Bowyer, who's known for being a hothead and getting himself into trouble, and Kieran Dyer, mate, they went toe-to-toe. They were swinging haymakers they had to be pulled apart. They both got sent off.
How about that? I get you. You know more about the soccer than I do, mate. But it's fairly competitive over there, even in the own team, right? Like over here, the Australian culture is you go out in the park, you're in it together with each other. But over there, it's a pretty cutthroat environment, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, a mate of mine went over and trialled. He reckoned when he was about 16 or 17, and he said like it was violent. Like just getting through the session was a mission because they all want that spot.
Spot. Yeah.
That actually reminded me. Craig Bellamy, another notorious bad boy, they got in a fight you'll like this one. They got in a fight on a away trip, might have been pre-season. Apparently the rumour was that he took his one wood out and whacked one of his teammates. And the best part was he scores the winner in a game a few days later, and his celebration, he runs to the corner post and does this and then does a goal swing like to...
Oh, stop it. He loves playing to the crowd.
Oh, mate, didn't care.
How good.
Anyway, I'll put you out of your misery, mate. No more football now. I just wanted to tick that off because I thought that was funny as.
Pretty funny.
R360. We talked about how it would keep us going all summer. It's disappeared.
Yeah, it's disappeared.
What do you know?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I do have a little bit of a Bronco insider, Hawk, I'll tell you. Yeah, Big Red. Yeah. We'll keep his name out of it. Yeah, Haas not going anywhere with the Bronx. He's in. They've just signed his two younger brothers, quite young, just in their teens. So good, not good to say point. That they're going to be anything like Haas, but it's just fallen off a cliff. You know, now there's talk of the two, Pappenhaus and Lomax, talking about French rugby, Japan rugby. There's all sorts of things getting thrown up. So, you know, they keep saying another 2 weeks before we announce some stuff. It just never comes. So, you know, whether, again, it's hassle, whether it's rumours, but him coming out and saying, you know, that the business plan that sits behind it isn't real sturdy. It's not gaining as much momentum as we keep getting promised. So how much of it is really the rugby league media just trying to continue to put, you know, print on newspapers, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. And player managers trying to jack up the prices of their clients too. You can understand those two blokes though, Lomax and Pappenhausen, maybe wanting out. They've sort of had some, well, Pappenhausen, constant injury, probably looking for something that's a bit easier on the body. I don't know how close you watch Lomax. After Origin, he, I don't know if it was because of this R360 stuff happening or whether he was just broken, but he just didn't look the same player. He didn't look happy, really.
Yeah, yeah. Look, if they're going for this money, it doesn't matter what they're playing. There's been plenty of players go overseas before. They've tried different sports before. And, you know, chasing the dollar, you know, if for a young fella, it'd be a lot more attractive to be living in the south of France playing rugby than battling it out in Western Sydney. It's easier on the body, etc. Yeah. So, look, you can't knock them if that's what they're doing. But as far as taking on league and taking on union worldwide, I don't know. It just seems to be getting a little bit more a distant thought rather than, you know, fact.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what that reminded me of? A young battler from the west of Sydney who used to play a bit of footy, following the money to Fox Sports, to find a job that wasn't as tough on his body. But little did he know the impact on his body that Fox Sports would have.
Little did he know there was a green machine at Fox Sports who annihilated a few young fellas.
Enough said. Good times. I had to go back there for a day.
Fantastic.
What about, let's get to the Ashes. What about, before we just touch on quickly rugby, they said also that once the European rugby tour is finished, that maybe there'd be some announcements about a whole lot of rugby players jumping ship. Well, that has come and gone. I know it's only been a few days, but nothing. And just on Wallabies watch, they lost again. I've got to be honest, having watched a little bit and following it, I think they, even though they've got this record now, worst, you know, first team to not win a match over there in 70 years or something, and then they've lost 10 tests. Like, actually, they've probably been more competitive than they've been in forever. They've just forgotten how to win.
Yeah. They're in that circle now, in that habit of just finding a way to lose and just can't seem to get out of it. I think the best hope for them is to get back home and try to regroup through another state-based season and have another crack, but yeah, it's not pretty.
No, it's not pretty. So the cricket, starting with Aussie, seriously. Like,
yeah.
He's posted today, what a week, 3 cricket pitches, got it. And then a picture of the golf course after he's copped so much shit. Like, golf's not a problem in your preparation unless it becomes a problem and you can't bat. And the fact that he had to go off and couldn't open both innings, like,
just didn't look good. Yeah, it just didn't look good, Hawk. You can say, you know, you know more after the test than before it. We're all saying Aussie was a lock, and then he's hurt his back. He's played golf the day before. Supposedly he does that before every test, but he hasn't hurt his back before. He's as old as what we are now, mate. exactly. Close enough to it. If he's been doing that forever, he's been doing that forever. That's his, you know, mental preparation as well. You've got to think about it. It's just a bad look. And for him not to open, you've got a rookie opener with you that, you know, did his utmost, you know, batted well in the second innings. But, yeah, it's just not a good look. And then, you know, once you give someone a thread to pull, there's all of his recent outs and recent averages. You know, the last six series haven't been impressive. The big score in Sri Lanka is it. So people are looking. And on the back of a win, that's pretty rare for Australian Test cricket. We usually win, we stick solid. But, yeah, they're pulling that thread and looking hard at him at the moment, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I think one of the places that shows up how his eyes have gone is in the slips. He doesn't look like catching it. He took one, but that was a pretty comfortable one that come high and wide. But the one he missed, it didn't even hit his hands. Like, it hit his wrist. And the one he caught where he juggled, like, he caught it like almost like a crocodile, which is like, that's your catching style when you had your cameo for the mighty Norman Hurst.
My one game for the Normanhurst for the seniors A2s
back in, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Well, he
looks shot to me.
Yeah, you're spot on with that first catch. Both Smith was standing next to him in slips and Stark was bowling. They both went to celebrate, froze for a second, and then celebrated again. So, look, at the end of the day, he caught it. That's the only thing that counts. But to your point, it just doesn't look good. And, you know, if not, you know, now, when? It's only obviously a matter of time for everyone. You know, age is something that gets us all, and it's going to get Uzi. But I wasn't expecting him to be the one after the first test and a victory at that for everyone to be pointing the finger at. So it's interesting to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, and as much as people putting shit on him saying they haven't made the difficult decisions, they dropped Nathan Lyon last, like, the previous test. So I think they are getting to that point where they are making those decisions, and I just think he's cooked. I just think there's so much better balance that you could have in the team if you moved him on. I really like the look of Jake Weatherill. I think he definitely looks worth persisting with. He looked really good in that second innings.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, look, the Uzi thing, whether it's at the end of this series or whether it's today for the second test, it's going to come. You know, look, up here, Matt Renshaw's had a huge Brisbane grade cricket season. He's done exceptionally well for Queensland. I thought he was a little bit unlucky, truth be told, not to make the first test. So he's obviously batted both in the opening slot and down and the wicket down the order. You know, you can move head and keep him where he was. He certainly didn't go backwards. He was phenomenal, and we'll get to that. And move a Webster, a Marsh, an Inglis into that middle order that are ready to go as well. So there's certainly options. You know, there's already talk, to your point, up here with the weather that we're having up in Brisbane, that Lyon will get dropped and they'll go with an all-pace attack, which will be interesting. So if they're willing to do that, you know, that horses for courses with the bowling, who's to say Uzi, night test, moving ball.
Old eyes.
Yeah, could be interesting.
Yeah, and interestingly, Matt Renshaw scored a pink ball 100 just today, I think, Sunday. And he hasn't gone crazy in the Shield, but he's put some good innings together in the Shield. I think that's a good option. But what do we think about sticking with the people's champ at the top now?
The people's champ. Yeah. I didn't realise that being Movember that we all look like Travis Head, but I'm glad I woke up on Monday and went to work looking like Travis Head with the best mull I can put on the park. I guess that's more him. You know, you talk about balance of the team. Him being up there, maybe, you know, we're a little bit skinny down the bottom, especially, you know, if Webster or a Marsh go in and, you know, we've got that second all-rounder.
Josh Inglis, get Inglis
if,
in
if
there.
It was Inglis, much more comfortable with that. You know, I'd be worried having a second all-rounder in there while, you know, they're all been proven. They've all done well, Marsh and Webster at that level. If it was Inglis, no problems. I think they're the two options if it was, you know, obviously we're not going to get a say, mate, but either Renshaw or Inglis and have that genuine six batsman, I think's, you know, the only way to go, mate, especially with their bowling attack, right? Like, you know, we'll get to the way they piked it in the second innings, but that first innings was quite phenomenal. I wouldn't want to go a batsman short with another all-rounder.
Absolutely not. Mate, we're not going. Our opinion's not going to matter at the selection table. That's why we're getting paid the big bucks here, though, mate.
Yeah, that's why the sponsors are rolling in the door, mate. If anyone's interested, reach out. Yes.
We're cheap as fuck.
Good.
I just think. You know, like we. Yeah, let's go attack. Get Josh Inglis. I think Mitch Marsh. Yeah, I don't know about that. He hasn't played any red ball cricket. Definitely not pink ball cricket. Or Renshaw, like you said. They're the two options. Now, don't know how much of it you watched. I watched a fair bit of it.
Almost every ball, mate.
Yeah. They were frightening in the first innings where they bowled the Poms.
Yeah. Yeah. If we had this conversation after day one compared to having it now, it would be a very different chat. After day one, I couldn't believe the pace that they bowled at, the ferocity, the just constant. All three of them were up, you know, high 140s, over 150 at times, and it was just relentless. And our guys just couldn't handle the pace, right? You cut the shit. The bottom line is they just couldn't handle the pace. And after day one, I'm thinking to myself, we're going to lose the Ashes here unless they get injured. That was how frightening day one was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. I can't remember. I mean, you're a little bit older than me, mate. You might remember the West Indies better than I do, but I can't remember a pace attack that's come that's had so much, like across the board. There's been one here or there, but all three of them bowling the way they did. And then Stokes is no Muppet with the pace. It's frightening.
Yeah, it was. You're probably right. I hadn't thought about that, but it probably is, apart from maybe one or two series with the Pakis when Wacker Yunus and Wazim Akram and maybe Shoaib Bakhtar in there as the third one.
Yeah.
Apart from that, it's probably the Windies since you've seen bowling. Oh, maybe South Africa. Maybe we've been a bit unfair on them.
Yeah, they had Donald and a few, didn't they? Yeah, but genuine speedsters. A whole attack, you know, and they were talked that day one. They've been building for this for 3 years. Well, after day one, I was a believer. I thought this is phenomenal.
I caught up with a mate Saturday lunchtime, and we were talking about it, and we were just talking about, because the plan was we're going to catch up, then we're going to watch the cricket, which I'm like, oh, I don't know if we want to watch the cricket. And he was saying, like, oh, you know, they said how prepared they are, and, you know, like they were all at sea batting. And it was like that. It was like, how were you not ready? You knew it was coming. But we also did say, well, Wooden Archer at some point will break down. And to me, that was the thing that was most noticeable when in the second innings was they didn't threaten at all. It was like watching a completely different bowling attack.
Yeah. The big thing that I took out of the difference, so like you want to talk all the stats, all three of them were down over 5Ks an hour average bowling. So they went from high 140s average to low 140s, completely different game, right? Now, the pitch obviously flattened out. It become more of a one-day pitch, all those sort of things. But they couldn't handle bowling 2 days in a row. Like you saw what Stark did. You saw, well, all three of them. I thought Doggett was really, really, really good on debut. Boland struggled a little bit with his run rate, but kept charging in. They just ate it up. Where the Pommies, come day two, was like they haven't got anyone to put their hand up to charge in. The pace was absolutely inferior to day two. It was a different bowling attack, and then that allowed the Aussies to get on top. If that's what they've dished up after 2 days, how are they going to handle if we score 350, 400 first innings, and they've got to go to 5 days? They're not going to handle that.
Nah, no chance. Or they bowl first, then have a short bat because they don't bat very long.
Yeah.
Even if they score a big total, but they're not out there that long because both innings of theirs were like 30-something overs.
Yeah.
And then they've got to bowl again in the second innings after, like, no chance.
No chance. What stood out to me with this whole baseball thing wasn't do you have the batsman to be able to handle scoring that fast? What stood out to baseball for me in the first test was do you have the bowlers that can back up and bowl again so quickly after your first crack because you don't bat long enough?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we're going to chalk Perth up to, you know, a tough deck on the first day, et cetera, et cetera, and chalk it up to Stark bowling really well. But if they're only going to bat one day because they're just going 100 miles an hour, then the bowlers have got to go and bowl again the next day, and they just don't have the stamina, they don't have the legs, the kilometres in the legs, they don't have the heart, whatever you want to call it. It's not going to happen. So they've got to figure out a way to bat longer. Forget about how fast they're going. They've got to figure out how to bat longer, because these guys aren't going to get fit enough or strong enough before the end of the series.
Yeah, agree. Part of me got a bit swept up with the match and that day too, and thought, oh, we're just going to drub them now. Like, I just can't see them coming back from this. But then, like, when I had sort of time to think about it, I'm like, I've still got the same concern. Like, I'm just concerned for where our runs are going to come from consistently, because they'll still have days out with the ball, and at some point they're going to get runs too. Like, it's going to click.
Yep. Well, they're going to bowl that quick again in the first innings, mate. So they're going to be fresh. We've still got a week and a bit to go for this next test. So they're going to charge in and bowl 150 again in the first innings.
Yep.
Yeah. And so we're going to have to handle that, or find a way to handle that somehow.
Yeah, and typically pink ball test matches, they leave extra grass on. And you're saying that in Brisbane, if there's been a fair bit of rain, it's going to be, it's going to have a bit of juice in it.
Right now we're mid-30s storming every night, so really traditional Queensland weather. If we get this for another week, they won't be able to keep the green grass off the gutter. Like, it's usually green at the best of times. So if this weather continues, it'll be hooping around corners. And if they're doing it at 150, she's going to be a tough slog to go out there and bat.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, let's hope we still win, but it goes for longer than 2 days. Although, like, jammed a lot of quality into 2 days. Seriously, how much fun was it sitting back Saturday night watching the carnage?
Yeah, I would have liked to watch it Sunday hungover on the couch. I'm going to be honest with you. I missed that. But the 2 days, you couldn't take your eyes off the screen. There was something going on the whole 2 days. So if they can figure out a way of standing that out to 4.5, 5. I know Cricket Australia will be a lot richer for it, but it was phenomenal entertainment. It can't explain it any other way.
Absolutely. I imagine you're heading out there, are you, this year?
I'm not up here in Brisbane, but I'm going down to the Boxing Day test. So taking the father and the young bloke, and the three of us are going to go down for his 70th. I'm going to go down and spend the first 3 days. So we may have 1 day spare if Perth's anything to go by. But I got tickets to the first three, so hopefully they can hang around a bit longer this time.
Yeah, I think you're pretty safe in Melbourne, but we'll see. Okay, so I think we'll leave it there. There's still plenty of footy talk going on. Somehow they've managed to put more in the news, but I think we'll leave that alone for this week. It'll be... all the build up to the second test when we speak this time next week, and we'll speak then.
Can't wait, mate. Hopefully we've got a few inside tips about the Queensland deck up here at the Gabba, and we'll have a good chat about it.
I need to dig deeper into your Broncos contact too. There might be something we need to talk about offline.
No problem.
Okay, mate.
Cheers.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.